And may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Fill me, O God, with your life-giving spirit. You know, I've never thought about that before from the reading, but what a great description of real revival in a person's life, in a parish's life, or in a city like Selma, that the word fleshes out and dwells among them. He's tangible. You can sense it. You can see it. You can see the results. You can follow the footsteps because they're imprinted in the things that he does. It's just amazing what God's doing. Amen? This is from Psalm 97. This was just my contemplation this morning, or prayer. The older I get, I realize that I do less talking in prayer and a lot more listening. And I've discovered that really was the smartest way all along. He has a lot more interesting things to say than I do. This is verse 10 of Psalm 97. Hate evil, you who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous. Now, whenever you sow a seed, you expect a harvest. So if you sow light as seed, you expect a harvest of light. Light is sown like seed for the righteous, and gladness is sown like seed for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Now, one of the things that I have to be careful about is that never to walk in just private interpretation and stuff. You sort of set yourself up as your own little demagogue. But I do realize that when you kind of experience an environment of revival, you end up a lot like in the book of Acts. Oh, this is what Joel meant when he said. They didn't understand what that was about until they saw it. And there are times in our lives when we see God do stuff, and then that's why it says in Acts chapter 1, this is an account of all the Luke was an account of all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. Often it's doing, and then you teach. Oh, God does this. Oh, okay, this is what's going on. And I thought about this scripture, and in verse 11, there's a couple of things that I want you to see in this short time. One, when he says light is sown for the righteous, I believe he's talking about insight, vision, being able to see things clearly, spiritually. It says in chapter 5, verse 6 of Revelation, that Jesus, when he's manifesting in the form of a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, that compassionate heart of God, that he sees with seven eyes. And the scripture talks about us having the eyes of a dove behind the veil, being able to see things with the eyes of the Spirit, having insight. And when you do have insight, you have clarity, when you see things as God sees things more fully, you do walk in more faith because you see things from heaven's perspective. I mean, Jesus did that all the time. He didn't just see a sick man, he saw a sick man healed. He didn't just see a person in bondage, he saw a person in bondage set free. He didn't just see this, he said, if you'll seek the kingdom, he'll provide everything. He saw provision, he didn't just see five loaves and two fish. He looked up to heaven and saw the resources of heaven released for that moment as the Son of Man. And he walked in extravagant faith. He didn't perform that miracle as God. The Father did the works through him, but Jesus saw something. Because he had seven eyes. And so I believe that as we respond to light, and here's what it says, light is sown like seed for the righteous. And to me, righteousness is not just hearing something, obeying it. That's obedience, which is part of righteousness. But righteousness is about, my mentor many, many years ago used to say, righteousness is truth walking. And one of the things about righteousness is you're not just waiting for a word, you're searching for a word. You're looking for truth so you can walk it out. There's a passionate, there's a daringness. The scripture says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent people take it by force. Now, you've heard me say this over the years, some of you who are CTKers, is that I spent too much time in my life, instead of taking the kingdom by force, having the kingdom forced on me. Because I would be hesitant and I would, you know, be scared, this, that, and the other. And so God would be faithful, but he would force it on me. And I thought, God, may I come to a place where I'm not like Psalm 78. And they sought the Lord when he killed them. I would like to go beyond that. And so I find myself more and more being violent about looking for truth to walk in. Looking for the things to to step in so I can see what God might do. The daringness about that. There's a daringness about righteousness. I've used this example before. I'll just remind you again, when John Wimber had this church, he had started this new church, and they were meeting in this gymnasium, and for 2 years, God had been telling him, I want you to preach from the book of Luke about healing. And so he did every Sunday, to preach the book of Luke about healing, and every Sunday they would take people and pray for them, and every Sunday not one person got healed. Not only were not getting healed, they were catching the things that the people they had, they were praying for. And so finally they had this big push one Sunday, and they prayed for everybody. Nobody got healed. His people were getting sick, his leaders. And they had a curtain that was behind the stage where the staff would meet or people afterwards. And he said after the church, they were all back there on their faces, just beating on the floor, weeping before God out of just pure frustration and heartbrokenness. And then he gets in his car and he goes home and he says, God, that's it. I'm not going to be embarrassed by you anymore. I'm tired of being humiliated and looking like a fool and talking about things that never happened. I'm not going to preach this ever again. And the Lord said to him, John, I told you to preach the truth, not your experience. And to me, that's an example of righteousness. You just daringly go after the truth and walk in the truth and trust God to back up his act. And I believe that when you do that, there's a light, there's insight. You're walking in what you see, and the result is God will cause you to see more, which creates an atmosphere of faith. There's a harvest of eyesight from the kingdom's perspective. You know, it says, unless you are born again, you can't see the kingdom. But I've discovered that my vision of the kingdom grows more and more. This kingdom fills the earth, but we get caught up in this, that, and the other. We got to look beyond all that and see the kingdom. See the reign and the will of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we really mean that? And whenever situations we're facing, do we see the kingdom beyond that and begin to speak in faith? Begin to act like it's so, even when it isn't so, in order for it to be so, because you know it is so. He says it's so. Trusting God to back up his act, not being afraid if you look like a fool. See, that's righteousness to me. And then I love this other place. That's when we're moving with the eyes of our heart, when our harvest of light. And he said, in gladness for the upright in heart. And the word upright means smooth. It means something, it's a Hebrew word, it means smooth. Something that it just slides off. You can't attach to it. And to me, that's about repentance, a repentant lifestyle. A repentant lifestyle that says, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy. His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What robs us of our experience of his presence is sin. And a repentant lifestyle, sometimes a busy one. It is for me. Oh my gosh. Things are sticking to me. And I want my heart to be smooth. I want it to be upright. I don't want attitudes, thoughts, words stick to me. We even gathered tonight, last night, as our Archbishop's Council. And I was teasing about a certain brother. And I had to repent this morning. I said, Lord, that was just not right. And there was a time when I wouldn't even thought anything about it because it was funny. But it wasn't funny to God. And I just want to keep my heart smooth. I don't want things to stick that aren't of God. Because what happens is, and we think repentance is a person who's miserable. Actually, there's a harvest of gladness. He says he'll sow gladness into a heart of repentance. To walk with seven eyes, to walk with gladness like a harvest that's supernatural. I like that. As a person who lived in depression and anxiety clinical years and years ago, isn't it amazing? Blessed are those who mourn over their sin, for they shall be paracleted. And the Holy Spirit brings joy. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Isn't that interesting? Owning your stuff, creating an atmosphere where a harvest of gladness comes in your life. God gave us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.